We want to seek to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Luke chapter 19. It's a really wonderful record, and it says a lot, really. You got to continue to seek. You got to continue to hunger. And I guess that's the thing that I want to impress upon us more than anything else today. It's your attitude and it's your hunger to know the Lord that will deepen your relationship with Him and your fellowship with our Lord and Savior and with our Father. It says in chapter 19 of Luke, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." The word gives us two things about Zacchaeus. It's kind of that he was the chief among the publicans. He wasn't just a publican. Remember, a publican is a tax collector, works for Rome. They're not well respected. They're not well liked. And they're considered, most of them are considered crooks by the people. You know, I mean, what is your attitude towards the Internal Revenue Service? Now, there probably are an enormous number of really good people who work for the Internal Revenue Service. But because they work for the Internal Revenue Service, automatically we have a blanket attitude, right? Which is kind of set. And I think it's the same thing here. Because an awful lot of people, an awful tremendous number of individuals who preach and teach, they just think that Zacchaeus is like the worst guy in the world. He's the bottom of the barrel. I don't think that the scriptures indicate that at all, to tell you the truth. But he happens to be rich. Doesn't say he got it by ill, that he was a crook, and he was the chief among the publicans, chief of the tax collectors. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. He was short. This man wanted to see, he sought to see him. He'd never met Jesus before. I don't know what he knew or what he didn't know. Obviously, he knew that Jesus was a very important person. He was someone of reputation. Because here it is, this is a rich man. He's a chief of the publicans, right? He's a chief tax collector. He's a little guy. You know. I know we're not supposed to say that anymore, right? He was a wee fellow. That's what's in the songbook, right, for the children's thing. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. You know what? There are short people. There are big people. This guy was in the middle of the crowd, and he was short, and he couldn't see nothing. But he wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ. So he went down to where the Lord was going to go. He went down and he climbed a tree, which is pretty, I mean, that's how much desire does it take? I mean, just picture us, okay? He's obviously not a kid. He's a chief. You know, he didn't get that job when he was 18. How old he is, we don't know. He's a little guy. But he wants to see who this Jesus is. He's got a desire, so much so that this mature man, and I'm going to call him mature just because of his job title. I think the scriptures bear that out. This mature man goes down the road anticipating where Jesus is going to go and climbs a tree. That's someone who really wants to see. I want to see. I want to know. and he ran before and climbed up the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. The sycamore tree, from what I understand from the Eastern culture and the book Light Through an Eastern Window, K.C. Pillai did that. He said that the sycamore is not like the sycamore that you have in the United States. It was a fig tree. It was a fig tree that bared fruit that nobody really liked, and they fed it to the pigs and to the cows. So this is a different kind of sycamore. That just didn't cost you anything. I just wanted to throw it in there. Because we get the picture of the sycamore tree that we have, and it's very different. It was also a tree that, you don't want to hang around this tree. You don't want to hang around this tree, from what I understand. But he humbled himself. And I think about this. He humbled himself. He didn't say to somebody, hey, I'll pay you $20, put me up on your shoulders. He went down, he climbed the tree, and he wanted to see the Lord coming. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacharias, or Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. What just happened here? Jesus is in the middle of a really big crowd. It's so big that Zacchaeus can't see him. So he goes down. He's going to beat the crowd. He gets in a position where he can see. He climbs the sycamore tree. And he just wants to see the Lord. He doesn't know. It doesn't tell you that he knows anything. He knows he's famous. You don't climb a tree and want to see somebody so bad that's not famous. So he must have heard something about Jesus, probably a lot, but it doesn't tell us exactly. But he wants to see him. He humbles himself. So this rich man climbs this fig tree, which nobody's really fond of. And Jesus comes and he gets there. And the Lord, with all this going on around him, looks up. Now, I bet you he's the only guy in the tree. I mean, that's just a thought. I think that this is something special. And I think it's really something special because Jesus calls him by name. He's got the Lord Jesus Christ sees the hunger, sees the humility. And obviously God Almighty, his Father, points him out by revelation, tells him his name. And he says, hey, Zacchaeus, come on down, because today I'm going to be in your house. I'm going to dwell with you in your house. You know, that must have been stunning to the crowd, because later on here in this record it gives, but here you got all these people. You probably got the guys in the flowing robes. You probably got the real hot shots. They want to be seen with, you take a politician, you go out there, and everybody crowds around the thing so that they can be seen with this guy. Nobody knows their names, but they want to be seen with this guy. It's sort of like good for business. I bet you there was a lot of that going on with the Lord when he was walking down the road. I bet you there was tons of people had heard about his miracles and signs and wonders. There's people that maybe got healed and heard the word that he spoke. But Jesus Christ picked out Zacchaeus and said, I'm going to come with the chief of the publicans, what the people hate, and in front of everybody, Jesus Christ says, hey, you, the one that nobody likes, the one everybody considers to be a thief and a traitor to the nation, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house. That must have really been something. And he obviously had to yell over the crowd, right? So what do you see here? You know, first of all, you don't judge a book by its cover. You know, you see from Zacchaeus' point of view, you see the hunger. You see the humility. You see the desire. It reminds me of like when Moses went up to see the burning bush. Let's go see what this is. You know, he wanted to know. It was amazing to him, and then God talked to him. Well, here it is. He wants to know. This guy wants to see. I want to see who this is. He's got the hunger and the humility to do it. And then Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I want to go into your house. We'll dwell there and abide in thy house. Verse 6. And he made haste, and he made haste, and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus receives the Lord. Now, put yourself in the situation. If you're a stranger, you can tell a lot by what Zacchaeus thinks, a lot of what he perceives and believes, based upon his reaction here. This isn't, who, me? Who are you? You know, I'm not quite sure of you. No. He comes down with haste, and he receives him joyfully. And when he saw it, and when they saw it, the crowd, they all murmured. And not everybody here, then this is where it gets, right? This is where the people are like this. Oh, my. And they say it under their breath, not out loud. They wouldn't say it to his face. Nobody says nothing to your face. You ever notice that? They do it online, they do it someplace else, but they don't say nothing to your face. It's not too often anymore. They all murmured, saying that he was going to be the guest with this man that is a sinner. So he has got one bad reputation with the crowd. And I wonder if it was like what I said before. You know, you got this particular job, therefore you have to be an evil guy. Or you're rich. Therefore you have to be an evil guy. Everybody who's rich in this nation around these days, everybody who's rich, you got a cloud hanging over you. The problem is that every single one of us who's listening on a computer or on a phone that costs you $1,000 is considered rich in probably 85% of the world. So they don't think much of you either. It's a presumption, isn't it? Judge a book by its cover. Oh, he's got this, he must be this. You know, he does this for a living, he must be that. Foolish. You know, Jesus by revelation, hey, Zacchaeus, you know my name? Never met him before, because he wanted to see him so bad. You know my name? I'm going to come and abide in your house today. And when they saw it, they all murmured. They all murmured. People just murmur. Don't worry about what people think or what they say. Keep your own integrity in your own heart. Keep your own hunger. Yeah, I've been watching more, just another little sideline, I've been watching more and more people defame Christians just because they're Christian and just because they believe the Bible. Like this new guy that got Speaker of the House. They jumped all over his Christianity like it was supposed to be treacherously made fun of and defamed. They'll do it to you. And the world's going in that direction, so you better saddle up for that one. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. You know what, Zacchaeus, that's what it says in the law. If you defraud anyone, you don't just give them back what you're done. You give them back four times the amount. That's how you love your brother. That's how you make good on a mistake, on a bad deal. Zacchaeus says, I'll give half of everything I got. He's a rich man. He gives 50% of every. This is not a man with a corrupt heart. This is not a man who follows the law of Moses and restores. Because, I mean, that's the accusation. Oh, you're a chief publican. You must be a thief, collecting more money than you're supposed to. In fact, just keep your finger here and go to Luke 3. Because this is what all the people thought. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 12. These are the publicans, these same group of people, tax collectors, and they're coming to John the Baptist to get baptized. Then came also the publicans to be baptized, saying unto him, Master, what shall we do? What do you want us to do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. That was their reputation. The tax collectors would collect what they were supposed to collect for the Roman government, except what they would do is they'd add a little bit. You know, let's say we had to get $100 from you. You owe 110, and I put the 10 in my pocket. You don't exact more than what you're supposed to. You got a job, you make a living, you don't extort people, you don't trick them, you don't play. That's not honest. That's not godly. You want John the Baptist, he was baptizing these, he said, what would you have us to do? That's how you understand people's attitude towards the publicans. Go back to Luke 19. So he declares to the Lord, and you know what? The Lord would have called him out on it if it wasn't true. So how many people you know give half of their abundance to the poor? Yeah. So that's why I don't believe what all these other preachers have said about Zacchaeus and some of these commentaries. I just don't believe that. I think he gets a really bad rap. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Wow, that's pretty cool. You know, the Lord came. It doesn't tell you that he sat there and taught him, but I believe he did. And he's obviously a righteous man, a man who has got integrity. Now, you could take it the other way. Okay, he was a bad guy. I mean, I understand how these people go the other way. But I don't see it, see? Where all of a sudden on a dime, somebody who's a crook first of all, humbles themselves. Is this curious? You know, most of these guys, come talk to me. You know, I don't see it that way, you know. But let's say he just, all right, he was marginal, and he just declares the Lord after the Lord teaches him, I'll give 50%, and I'll make sure I do it right concerning the law and give back fourfold. I prefer to think of Zacchaeus the way I shared with you before. That this man who's getting a bad rap just because he's rich, just because he had this job, but he was, it doesn't say he got it by ill gain. Doesn't say any of those things. And the Lord picks him out by revelation, I think, because he's hungry. And he is a believer, and he wants to know. And I believe the Messiah went to his house to show him, I am the Messiah, and taught the word that day. And Jesus proclaims that day that this man is a son of Abraham. You know what it means to be a son of Abraham? Go to Galatians. You are the children of Abraham. Do you know that? So go to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Individuals who believe and have faith, they are the children of Abraham. I believe in the last chapter of Galatians, in chapter 6, if I can find it, it says in verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. You are children of Abraham because of your faith. Go to Acts. You are children of Abraham because of your faith, because you believe like Abraham believed. What did Abraham believe? When you go to the record, he believed that the seed was coming, that the Messiah was going to come. That's what he believed, and God accounted to him for righteousness, for salvation. Salvation has come to this house, Jesus said, for he's also a son of Abraham. In Acts chapter 14, chapter 4, in Acts chapter 4, and in verse 12, one more page. It says, neither is salvation in any other. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the Lord shared with them the word, and Zacchaeus believed that he was the Christ, the Son of God. And he says, salvation has come unto this house. He is a believer. And go back to Luke, just for the last. Luke 19. It says in verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, that's why the Lord came. How many people did he put off? Ask yourself this question. He had the crowd around him, right? All these people are curious. Some of them are curious. Some of them want to know. Remember when he was doing the parables? and he had all these people around him, and yet the priest and all those guys were, this guy's got the devil. He's casting out spirits by the devil himself. And Jesus quoted the scripture in Isaiah that their hearts were hardened, and that seeing that they couldn't see, and hearing they couldn't hear or understand. He says, but to his men, he said during that time, he's teaching the parables in Matthew 13, I believe it is. He says, but it is given for you to know the things of the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Zacchaeus wanted to know. He wanted to know. The other people that were, who is this guy that goes and hangs out in a sinner's house? Bad attitude. Bad attitude. They were curious, just like the people hanging around Jesus when he was speaking the parables. But they weren't me. And their attitude towards Jesus wasn't exactly wholesome. That's an understatement. Same thing, I think, with a lot of people in this crowd. Here he's got probably, how many can you fit in the street? I don't know. Just throw out a number in your head. It's as good as the number I'll come up with. I bet you 3/4 of them walk away saying, he's hanging out with this sinner? I'm out of here. Jesus didn't come to woo the crowds. He didn't come to fill a church. He didn't come just to get the numbers. He came. He came, verse 10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which it was lost. And without accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, we are lost. Salvation comes through him. Go to Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 7. If you want to know, if you want your heart to be filled and thrilled with life, blessings, strength for the evil times that come your way, real joy in knowing the hope that's to come, you got to seek the Lord. And if you seek him, you will find him. And there's no one out there. If you've never known about Jesus before, if you seek him, he can save and he will strengthen and help. He will deliver. In chapter 7 and in verse 25, says, Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus is my Lord, and right now at this moment, he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, the scriptures declare, and is interceding for you. When you need help, when you have sinned and fallen short, and you want to come back, guess what? He is interceding with the Father for you. There's no such thing as I'm too evil, or I've heard this a ton. Oh, you don't really know what I've done. Doesn't matter. There's no one that low that he can't get and intercede for, and there's no one anywhere. There's no circumstance. I've mentioned before men like that have been forgiven that you just wouldn't want to forgive. We'd be like those people in the crowd. Oh, are you going to forgive him? You know, the prodigal son, you know. Yeah. The Father will. He sent his son to die for us, to be the sacrifice for us, and that he sits at the right hand of the throne of God making intercession for you and me. There is no one out there that he cannot make whole and bring into the kingdom of God. Remember the guy hanging next to Jesus? He's my favorite example. This is a man who says, I am guilty. I deserve a death penalty. Now, that's quite an honest statement, especially when you're hanging there, suffering. Leave this man alone. He's done nothing. He's the only one that spoke up for the Lord Jesus Christ in all the hours. Peter ran away, cursed him. I don't know the guy. All the others you couldn't find for nothing. This one guy who deserved the death penalty was the only man in those 40 some odd hours that Jesus suffered and was beaten, crucified, hanging there on that cross, that spoke up and said, leave him alone. He's done nothing. We deserved it. And Jesus turned and said to him, I'm telling you today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Talk to him. Zacchaeus is a guy, he climbs up a tree to see him. And you just, come on down. You know, come on down. Reminds me of that game show. Come on down. We're going to stay at your place today and bide with you. And then, boy. Can you imagine having the Lord come to your house? Imagine the thrill to have the Messiah, the Christ, in your house. Something. Yeah, go to one more place. I'd like you to go to, a couple more places. Matthew 5, verse 6. Very familiar verse of scripture to you. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And catch up with me. It's in Luke 11. See, if we hunger and thirst, it doesn't say if we want to sip and snack. This is not a couple of chips, you know, with the dip. We're talking about a full meal. You hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. That is the promise of God. You want this, you will be filled. You still hungry to seek him? Are you still hungry in your heart to know him more and more each day? Do you still, like we sang that song, Show Me Your Way? Do you still hunger that hard? You know, that's what you got to ask yourself, because you will be filled. And I want to tell you something, none of us has arrived fully. There's no one, I don't care if you've been doing this 50 years, you ain't lived long enough. All right, you ain't gonna live long enough. Yo, Noah was 600. I ain't lasting that, you know what I mean? You know, you get a whole lot more wisdom if you live 600. Me, I just started to realize, I was really stupid when I was a kid. I didn't really know that much. I had a lot of enthusiasm, but I didn't know what I know today. I want to know more. I want to know more. I want and I have a hunger to be in that fellowship with my Lord. In Luke 11, verse 9, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asks, receiveth. And he that seeks, he finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? You seek, you knock. The promise is he will answer. He will answer. Ask, knock, seek. You will find. And the Holy Spirit is like, you want to learn to live and walk by the Spirit of God that He has poured out on Pentecost? You want to learn to manifest that Spirit? All you got to do is diligently, humbly seek it with real hunger. And it's yours. This is the promise. These are the attitudes that takes. This is the promise that's in the Word. And if you seek Him, you will find Him. And that's what I wanted to share with you today.